Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's crack a drink and get the ball rolling, folks. Wow, just here for the beer. We went with a seasoned brewery that's been around for a while that we have done quite a bit here on the podcast. We're coming at you guys here with another non-alcoholic option. This time it's coming from our very own Surly Brewing. For those that haven't listened to a podcast that we've done them before, Surly is in Minneapolis, but it's kind of like that warehouse, kind of, South St. Anthony Park area. It's on the other side of 280 from, like, the Urban Growler Company. We've done them before. Just down the street from the market at Malcolm Yards and O'Shaughnessy Distilling Company. Really cool place. If you haven't gone to it, I urge you guys to go to it. Let's get into this drink. Again, another non-alcoholic option. It's Surly's Sparkling Hop Water. And I gotta say, I don't hate it. I know I've done a couple of, like, the non-alcoholic, like, beer kind of options. Like, of the hop waters and stuff like that. And some of them tasted rough. I can't remember which one it was, but one of them literally tasted like you were, like what I imagine, like, drinking grass would taste like. And that's not really the case here. This honestly tastes like a little bit of, like, sparkling water, but there's almost like a little bit of a malty taste, you know, on the can. It says hops, and then under the hops it says Citra Mosaic Water Malt and Yeast. Malt and yeast are both crossed out, so it's just, you know, Citra and Mosaic hops and water. But I like it. I really like this. This has to be, and again, you know, I still got to do some more research for you guys, because I know some people have been reaching out for these non-alcoholic options, but this has to be so far my favorite one I've done, other than that Beckett's that cinnamon stuff that was that was really good, but not favorite non-spirit. Another thing I looked into on their website for you guys, it says on the can, it's Axeman inspired. Axeman is one of their IPA, their year-round IPAs. I don't believe I've had the privilege of trying this one, but it sounds like this is very similar. It's a Citra Mosaic IPA, dank, hoppy, loud, 7.2 APB on the website. This is where they got their inspiration for this one, and I gotta say, I like it, and I'm glad I got a six pack, because I'm definitely gonna want another one. I'm definitely going to want another one of these, so highly recommend. Again, as someone on here that doesn't really know what you're looking for in a solid or a good non-alcoholic beverage, other than the fact that, you know, something that you can hold, something that you can feel like you're drinking, but you're not actually drinking alcohol. I don't want to put it up there and say it's, you know, a 10 or even a 9. So I'm going to go right under that threshold, because I really do like it. And I feel like if I had more of a knowledge into the non-alcoholic stuff, it would be somewhere in the 9s for me. So I'm going to go with an 8.8. I really like it. Like I said, I urge you guys to go check out Surly, surlybrewing.com. You can also check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Go to surlybrewing.com. They have a number of events coming up. This upcoming Saturday, they have their 2023 Legacy Cup. The 28th, they have their Brews Cruise Trolley Tour, as well as the La Crosse Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Wisconsin, if you want that. And then October, they got monthly game night on the 5th, Darkness Days on October 7th, a Clues Food Distribution, a volunteer event on the 9th. So a lot of cool things that they're doing. Go check them out. And lastly, before we hop into the Tommy Town, they are open Tuesdays through Thursdays 3 to 10, Friday 3 to midnight, Saturdays 11 a.m. to midnight, and then Sundays 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mondays they are closed. So go check them out if you haven't already. Let me know what you guys think of this, and let me know if there are other non-alcoholic drinks from there that you guys would like me to try. So with that, hopping into Tommy Town. So there's actually no news to report on, breaking news to report on from either of the men's or women's hockey teams. The women's hockey team is actually opening up its season play this upcoming weekend. This last Sunday, the 24th, they had an exhibition game against Durham West Lightning, a junior team. Don't know a ton about them, but they were able to get some skating in, get the real-time game kind of stuff going, and they're going to be taking on Franklin Pierce in a home series at the St. Thomas Ice Arena. Friday's game will be at 1 p.m., and then Saturday's game will be at 7 p.m., so tune in for those. And then lastly, before moving on, it was announced back on Friday the 22nd that the University of St. Thomas announced their Goal for Goals campaign. What is the Goals for Goal campaign, you may ask? Well, it's a way Tommy fans can be a part of every Tommy goal by supporting St. Thomas hockey. Excuse me, even if you can't be at the rink, with each goal scored on the ice, contributions through the campaign will go towards resources that allow student athletes to chase excellence in the classroom, community, all while building their character and competing. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, how exactly does this work, Jack? Easy. You go online to TommySports.com, click on the link, and you pledge the amount you would like to donate for each Tommy goal during the 23-24 season, and your card will automatically be charged in the week following a Tommy game. All gifts during the Goals for Goal campaign are tax deductible and charitable donations and will contribute to your Tommy Score and 1904 Club membership cards. These gifts are processed through the Tommy Athletic Fund and support the specified Friends of Men and Women's Hockey Fund. Like I said, go to the website on either of the pages to make your pledge there, or you can contact Tommy Athletic Fund at stthomas.edu. No, they're not paying me to say this. Just a avid Tommy alum and a Tommy sports supporter. So if you would like to be involved, go for it. If not, hey, no harm, no foul. But that is pretty much all we have for you guys this week, other than football. So the football team got back on track, getting to 500 on the week, getting a nice come from behind win over the Moorhead Eagles, winning 35-28. The Tommies and Moorhead State kind of went back and forth in that first and second quarter. There wasn't a whole lot getting going. Moorhead State actually scored with like about a minute and a half to go and actually took a 7-0 lead into halftime. And then from there the Tommies just went to work in the third quarter, took a quick 14-7 lead, and after that really didn't look back. It was a back and forth game. throughout as neither team led by more than a touchdown throughout the entire game. In fact, the game-winning touchdown pass was from Tack. I'm trying to do a better job of pronouncing his name, and I wrote it down. It's Tack Tatioka. And he threw a 26-yard dime to Jacob Wildermuth with 9 seconds to go, which is just outstanding. I gotta say, I haven't always been impressed by the guy, but truth be told, that last drive, I gotta say, if I'm Glenn Caruso, unless something crazy happens in this next game against Dayton, you gotta ride Tack as your QB1 now over Amari Powell. That was just an impressive game, which leads me to another thing we have to talk about in that he as well as oh gosh, where did I put it? Both Tatioka and Rink of the Tommy football team were Pioneer Football Players of the Week. So, excuse me. So yeah, they both earned Pioneer Football League honors for the first time in their careers on Sunday. Tatioka was named Freshman of the Week, while Rink was named Special Teams Player of the Week. Tatioka was named the Freshman of the Week for the first time in his career after making a statement in his first career start at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. The true freshman from Wisconsin led the Tommies last second scoring drive to clinch a 35-28 victory over Morehead State. He ended up finishing the game, completing 10 of 16 passes for 137 yards with 2 touchdowns. Matthew Rink from Lincoln, Nebraska, also a first time, played a critical role in the Tommies' victory with the team's deadlocked at in a 7-7 draw. The sophomore tight end blocked an Eagles punt and returned it for a touchdown, giving the Tommies a 14-7 advantage in the game. That really ended up proving to be a turning point in the game for the team, which went to outscore Morehead State 21-14 in an explosive third quarter. Additionally, Rink's block was a turning point for St. Thomas, definitely swinging the momentum in the home team's direction. So, a huge congratulations to both of them. And now the Tommies. I mean, you know, we talk so often on the podcast here about sports, and especially, you know, football being able to have. Being able to celebrate small victories, or not small victories, but just victories in general, but then having a quick mindset of, okay, you know, gotta focus on to the next one. So the Tommies will continue their Pioneer Football League conference play at Dayton, excuse me, this upcoming Saturday. The game will be in. Excuse me, the game will be played in Dayton and will be a noon start time. So, yeah, St. Thomas rebounded in a big way. The Flyers of Dayton are virtually unbeatable at home. While it doesn't hold a 20-game home field winning streak like us, Dayton is actually 11-1 at Welcome Stadium over the last 3 seasons and 2-0 in 2023 so far here. Also averaging 57 points per game at their home field and holding opponents to just 22 points per game, which is astounding. For the third consecutive week, the Tommies will face a new opponent in Dayton and will play at Welcome Stadium for the first time in program history. Caruso is 25-9 all time in historic first meetings with teams, including a 10-5 mark, sorry, since the program made the leap to Division I in 2022. It's also worth noting so far, Caruso is also 15-2 in Pioneer Football League play and 7-2 in the first ever meeting between St. Thomas and Pioneer Football League opponents. It'll be weird playing in the Buckeye States, Buckeye State too, as the Tommies have only ever played one team from Ohio in the history of the program, and that was Mount Union when they squared off against the D3 perennial powerhouse twice in the 2012 and 2015 Stag Bowls. The Tommies lost both games, falling 0-2 to teams from the state. Hopefully, they can turn that around this Saturday. But the big thing for this game that will play in the Tommies' favor is the run game. Sean Shipman has made quite a name for himself through the first couple weeks here in the regular season. The junior became the first Tommy runner back in Division I era to rush over 200 yards in a game, tallying 204 in our win over Morehead State this last weekend. And he currently ranks 16th in FCS in single game rushing yards, and his 71-yard touchdown run on Saturday ranks just outside the top 15 in the nation this season already. And then on the other side, stopping the run. St. Thomas's run defense has been stalwart this season, to say the least. They rank number 8 in all of the FCS holding opponents, excuse me, to just 117 rushing yards per game. If you take out the team's performance against Harvard, the St. Thomas run defense has held teams to 71 yards per game, which includes two sub-100-yard rushing performances. They held Black State to just 41 in the season opener, and then 66 to the Eagles this past Saturday. So, once again, TAC looked great this last weekend. So hopefully between the passing game, the running game, and the run defense, they can get on back on top of things and go to three. Excuse me, can go to 3-2 on the season, and continue to stay perfect 2-0 in Pioneer Football League play. Lastly, before jumping into local business shout out and professional sports and all that kind of stuff, did want to talk about, because you know we have done this, and I told you guys we were going to do some of Gopher football. You know, I'm just going to be completely honest with you guys. I watched this game. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, because I know a lot of people listening to this don't want me to beat a dead horse any more than I want to. But this loss to Northwestern State was just flat out embarrassing. It was unacceptable. It's probably one of the first times in the PJ Fleck era that I'm questioning Fleck's ability, like play calling ability. And really just what's going on. I mean, every single time watching that game, they panned over to him. He looked serious and he looked upset. He was shaking his head and everything like that. But then he's making these dumb play calls and, you know, his clock management and everything. I mean, to a Northwestern team that you were 11.5-point favorites to, you just let them score essentially 27 unanswered points. Like, that's just... it's unacceptable. Again, not trying to beat a dead horse here, but, you know, again, you look at this rushing game. Darius Taylor, 31 carries, 198 yards, and 2 TDs, and he's on the bench for our overtime series. Like, how is he not out there and helping us get a touchdown? The fact that we had to, I haven't seen over the last couple of years a ton of overtime games, but I have to say this is the first time I've seen the first team go out there in overtime, go out there and kick a field goal. I don't think I've seen that in a while. So embarrassing. Ethan Kaliak, man, has kind of looked a little bit lost kind of at the end of the game there too. Not really sure what that's indicative of, but I just got to say that fourth quarter, they look lethargic. It's not like PJ Fleck to just kind of roll over and not get a hold of his guys in a moment like that. Take a timeout, regroup, get everybody going. That defense is like, we're known for our defense. We've been known for our defense the last couple of years. They're not, you know, the best in the country, but they're one of the better defenses in the country. And we kept keeping them on the field, giving them opportunities, and we just couldn't take them off the field. So, really an unacceptable loss. And now you gotta, for the Gophers, you thankfully, you get to go back home and you have your third and final non-conference game against Louisiana. You know, again, coming into this game against Louisiana, we're 11-point favorites against them. You know, you hope you can get onto that, because then right after them, you got to go up against the number two team in the country at home in the Michigan Spartans. So really upsetting loss that we had to lose to Northwestern. Really unfortunate, but hey, you know, sometimes it happens, but, you know, it is frustrating, especially all things considered this weekend that us Minnesota fans went through. But needless to say, moving on. So with that, our local business shout out this week goes to Coffee Cart Minneapolis. And you might be asking, you know, like a lot of the times, what is Coffee Cart Minneapolis? Well, they're they serve award-winning local roasters, they're skilled baristas, and they handcraft each drink, and they really bring the coffee shop experience to you. They actually have two different services that they offer. They offer an espresso bar and a cold brew. So about them, it says, we believe coffee is not just a drink, it's an experience. There's just nothing like being at your favorite coffee shop, sipping on a drink that has carefully handcrafted by a skilled barista. That feeling is the inspiration behind Coffee Cart Minneapolis. We bring the coffee culture of the Twin Cities to your special event. Each drink we serve is made with locally roasted espresso and careful attention to every delicious detail. I actually went into my work's office to earlier today, and they actually had them. We're doing this thing at work, so they got these guys, and I gotta say, I was blown away. They had a couple different drinks, and I tried. I got two different ones that I loved. I thought they were really good. I gotta say, go check them out. Coffee Cart MPLS.com to inquire about booking. You can check out their availability. If you can follow them on Instagram and Twitter. It looks like sometimes they'll do pop-up shops too and stuff like that. But you guys gotta check them out. If you're a coffee drinker, I really think you're gonna like them. So yeah, check them out. If you have, per usual, let us know, and let's continue to show local Minnesota businesses some love. So yes, Coffee Cart Minneapolis, coffeecartmpls.com, and then yeah, like I said, Instagram and Twitter, you can also find them on there as well. First question of the night comes from Derwin. Jack, are you excited about the Twins being in the playoffs? And you know what, Derwin? Yeah, I really am. I know we haven't really been following them as closely as we do, you know, our other sports teams. But the bottom line is, you know, I'm a huge Minnesota sports fan. So anytime any Minnesota team makes it to the playoffs, want them to not only make it, but want them to, you know, win the whole freaking enchilada. We're currently in the same position where we were last week. So unfortunately, there's still games being played, so it's kind of goofy. So I'm just going to tell you guys as of, you know, games being played right now. So as of right now, the Orioles still hold on to the number one seed with the 99 in the East. And then the West is still up in the air, but as of right now, the Rangers are leading the West. The West has not been won yet. Texas, Houston, and Seattle are all within four games. So within the next day here or two, I imagine that's going to be cleaned up. But The one thing we do know, the Twins are going to be the in the wild card weekend. They're not going to get a first round bye. So last week, we kind of talked a little bit about, who do we want to see the team play. And as of right now, if for some reason game stayed at a halt, nothing changes,
I'm not sure I understand.
we would play the Houston Astros, which I'm not going to say I don't love. Houston is kind of the new Yankees, where they just always seem to have our number, which kind of sucks. So right now, Tampa Bay has secured a spot. They're for sure going to be the number one wild card team. As of right now, Toronto's number two, and then Houston is the third and final one, and the Seattle Mariners are just a game and a half out from that third spot. And if I'm being completely honest with you guys, for the sake of us just winning a game, for the sake of us winning a fucking game, excuse my language, let alone the wild card series, I would rather see the Twins play in that first round, either the Toronto Blue Jays or the Seattle Mariners, truthfully. Like I said, as of right now, we play the Houston Astros. Still, a little bit of season to play. It's a quick turnaround, so there are games being finished up today, and then there's games on Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's actually the final day of the season. But it is a quick turnaround. I looked it up. The Twins are actually going to start playoffs before the night of the next podcast. So, where is it? Yes. So game one between the AL number three team, which is going to be the Twins. Wait. Oh yes. Sorry, I just had a brain fart there. Yes, game one of the Twins and who we're playing. I believe all three games will be at home, but game one will be sometime on Tuesday, October 3rd. And then the night of the next podcast, October 4th, will be game number two. So, yeah, again, Derwin, excited. I just want to see this team win a game. I didn't want to go down memory lane, but it's something crazy. Like, you have to go all the way back to 2004 or 5 until the last time we actually won a playoff game. Now, a lot of those happened, losses came on the road, but you even have to go the year earlier than that. So it would be either 2004 or 2003 until the last time we won a playoff series. So again, it sounds like it sounds bad, but I just don't want us to get swept 0-2. I would like to see the Twins at least win a game, lose one game to two. Shit, if we can squeak out, a series win, that would be amazing. And that divisional round, so wild card series happens October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. All three just back to back to back there. And then the divisional round will get started on Saturday, October 7th. So yeah, a lot of good things looking forward to for the Twins, and they can get a win here. So that's what we have for you, Derwin, and for our Twins fans. For the Wild, geez, my wife said it best. I am not always the best Minnesota sports podcaster. Didn't even realize this not only was this last Sunday the third week of NFL football, but it was actually the start of the NHL preseason. The Wild took down the Colorado Avalanche in Colorado 4-3 with a big game from Sammy Walker. But then but then unfortunately just yesterday in Dallas went down went down six to one to the Dallas Stars. But again, it's really cool, and it's really nice to see a lot of these new guys get on the scoring sheet. Like I said, Sammy Walker has a power play goal with 2 goals and 3 points. New guy that we just signed, Jigar Kahari from Chicago, has already got a power play goal. Vinny Lettieri already has the game-winning goal from the series. From the Colorado game. Excuse me. And even in that game, Jasper Wallstead was on fire. He had a 930% save percentage and stopped 40 shots. It's worth noting, Colorado played 2 goalies that game. Those 2 goalies didn't even see that many shots combined. That's not a slam on, you know, us not peppering them. That's just, you know, a testament to, you know, Wallstead saw a bunch of shots and continued to do a great job of putting us in a position to be able to win that game. So, hats off to him. Hope he makes kind of that next step. The Wild have 4 more preseason games before the regular season gets underway. They will host the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night at 7. Then on Saturday, they will host the Chicago Blackhawks before going to Chicago on Thursday the 5th, and then finishing up on in St. Paul against the Dallas Stars on October 7th. After that, they will have a handful of days off before getting the season started on October 12th. So, again, good time for NFL football, all that fun stuff, and everything like that. And, crazy to think that hockey and basketball are both right around the corner as well. So, with that, lastly, before we get into the NFL, Vikings, kind of all that fun segment of stuff, not a ton to report on for you guys as far as the Minnesota Timberwolves are concerned. The Timberwolves are actually getting preseason started a week from tomorrow on October 5th against Dallas in Abu Dhabi for the Abu Dhabi preseason games they're doing. Excuse me. One thing I thought I would share with you guys is Damian Lillard earlier today got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks in a 3-team deal. So it breaks down like this. The Blazers are going to acquire Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, and Termani Kamara. Milwaukee's 2029 unprotected first-round pick and an unprotected Milwaukee swap rights in 28 and 30. The Suns will acquire Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nazir Little, and Keon Johnson. And it sounds like all Milwaukee is getting, not that it's, I shouldn't say all, but the only person going to Milwaukee is in fact Damian Lillard. So, shocking. I didn't think he was going to end up in Miami simply from the fact that I thought Miami would have to give up more than they wanted to get him. But I will definitely say this. I did not see Milwaukee coming. So I'll leave it at that for you guys. I'm just as shocked as everybody else. I think it was funny that Jimmy Butler told the NBA they got to look into the Bucks for tampering. You always got to love guys that want to go after other teams for tampering stuff, but on the real, fuck Jimmy Butler. Yeah, that's what we have for the Wolves for the NBA. Like I said, stay tuned. NHL preseason is underway, and NBA basketball preseason is about to get underway here. So, yeah, stay tuned for podcasts, also for NBA preview and NHL preview. So, with that, betting, football, and Vikings. Don't want to get too much into it off the bat. So just like the last couple of weeks, we're just going to get right into our bets, my picks for the week. Yeah, once again, prefacing this with I am not a financial advisor. You know, I'm not liable or accountable for any wins or losses you may have. These are solely my opinions. So with that, we will just get right into it. I'm going to start with my lock. This week, it was pretty easy and simple to pick. It's the Chiefs, who are 9.5 point favorites over the Jets. And truthfully, I would be surprised if this was not at least a 14-point game. Look, the Jets are continuing to stand by Zach Wilson as their quarterback, despite him clearly being the practically the single piece that's holding this team back from being a playoff contender or even a playoff threat, like making a deep run. He simply made some extremely head-scratching decisions in last week's loss to New England, and I can't even fathom a way this offense can keep up with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, especially one that has Travis Kelce at the helm. Wilson is 1-6 against the spread in his last 7 starts, and I'm certainly going to lay on the points here with the best QB in the NFL taking on the worst quarterback in the NFL. I got the Chiefs winning it 35-14. And then my upset of the week is actually the Buccaneers, who are 3-point underdogs over the Saints. This becomes a revenge game again for Jameis Winston, as he will need to start again for now an injured Derek Carr, who is going to be out with an, I heard it was an AC sprain, which is your shoulder. Needless to say, this is going to be a tough draw at home, as Alvin Kamara can be contained and Winston can make key mistakes versus the deep pass rush. But it won't be easier for Baker Mayfield either, with Marshawn Lattimore trying to contain Mike Evans. But ultimately, I think Tampa Bay can come away with just enough big plays in a defensive battle, and I got the Bucs winning this one 24-20. And then before we get into it, I really hope I'm not wrong 2 weeks in a row. That would suck only 4 weeks into the NFL. But ultimately, I think the Vikings are going to win this weekend. I think they're going to get the first win of the season. There's no one named. 31-20. So with that, this week, if you were to place a 3-game parlay against the spread at the Vikings, -3.5 points, the Jets at +3 points, and the Chiefs at -9.5 points, placing a $100 bet would win you $569.19, $10 to win $56.92, and $1 to win $5.69. With that, what's the easiest way to say this? Guys, there's just no way. This was just a heartbreaking loss. This was a heartbreaking loss. It was a back and forth game, very much like we talked about before this game happened. Two teams that, matched up very similarly. I think had Austin Ekeler been in the game, this would have been, you know, a bigger game in favor of the Chargers. Thankfully, he wasn't. And thankfully, Madison finally got going with 93 yards this last game. But, I mean, really was a back-and-forth game. They got on the board 7-0. We scored 10 relatively quick points in the – or back-to-back points in the second quarter, 10-7. Then ultimately they took a 14-10 lead into halftime. Traded scores, made it a 21-17 game in favor of the Chargers going into the final quarter, and then took the lead early in the quarter, 24-21, before Herbert threw a 30-yard pass to Joshua Palmer, and then stuffed at the very end. You know, it's a little heartbreaking. Again, you know, you want the fans to be in, you know, in the game, getting the team going and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, knowing that the fans were going so crazy on that last drive that it affected those last couple plays, it's tough to swallow. You know, it stinks, especially when Madison was just finding his footing. JJ had a phenomenal game. You know, Josh Oliver got a TD. KJ got a TD. You know, Addison had another good game. And Kirk Cousins, by his standards, had another great game. Went completed 32 of 50 passes, 367 yards, and three TDs minus, you know, that one interception. And truthfully, you know, our defense should have had that one pick too. So, you know, again, it's, you know, it's tough to start 0-3. It's, you know, it doesn't put us in a good position here. But I think one of the things that I keep holding my hats on, I've talked with some friends and some coworkers about this, is looking at the Minnesota Vikings schedule. Like, this, like, it starts honestly with winning this it starts with winning this game against the Panthers. But I'm telling you, between, you know, Green Bay is fine, but going to Green Bay, especially with no Aaron Rodgers, is going to be completely different and in our favor. But between weeks 8, with how these current teams are playing, weeks 8 to 14, when we go to Green Bay, to Atlanta, host the Saints, to Denver, host Chicago, and then to Las Vegas, those are 6 games we should be able to run the table with and go 6-0. So my I mean, this, again, it's early on in the season, you know, there's still a lot of football to be played, but given the situation with Kirk Cousins, where we haven't extended him, and the fact that we didn't extend him this offseason, leads me to believe that anything less of a Super Bowl appearance, he's not coming back. So this Carolina game, you know, I hate to be do or die, but this Carolina game, guys, it's the season. It's the season. If, you know, because that Kansas City game, it's going to be tough. We're going to lose that game. Like, I just, there's not a world. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, it could be the Buffalo game last year. Trust me, it's not. Patrick Mahomes doesn't make mistakes like Josh Allen does. You know, you have Travis Kelce. You have arguably, you know, the best tandem in the NFL with Mahomes and Kelce. So, you know, going 1-4, not ideal, but you can build from that. Going 0-5, that is going to be hard, because you go, think of it this way, you go to Carolina and you lose to Carolina, and then you lose to Kansas City, you're 0-5, you go to Chicago the next week. There's an argument to be made at that point. You fake some injuries, you rest some guys, and you should lose that game to Chicago. Because you want a top draft pick, you want to be able to get a good QB, and go from there. Because at this point, I think our better bet is to draft a quarterback of our future rather than trying to trade for him. I mean, I look across the league, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, is immovable. You know, Josh Allen's immovable. Joe Burrow is immovable. Lamar is probably immovable. I don't know that I'd want him, but some of these, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to come to Minnesota. Some of these guys. So it begs the question, who do you get? And there's not a whole lot of guys in the league that, I would. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are probably immovable too. So you look at, okay, who do we get? And I don't like the market for trading. Maybe we do trade for Kirk Cousins, but we're not going to get our quarterback for the future in a trade. But again, if you look at it this way, you win Carolina, you're 1-4. You lose, or you're 1-3. You lose to Kansas City. Unfortunately, you're 1-4. Big whoop. You go to Chicago. All of a sudden, you're 2-4. Lose to San Francisco, 2-5. Beat Green Bay, 3-5. Beat Atlanta, 4-5. Beat New Orleans, 5-5. Denver, 6-5. Chicago, 7-5. Las Vegas, 8-5. So going into those final critical four games, especially you got Cincinnati and the 2 games against Detroit. There's no reason, if we're able to win the game against Carolina, we still can't go into Cincinnati 8-5 and really have those 2 games with Detroit really decide who's going to win the division and who's maybe going to eke into a playoff spot. Because, right now, given again, it's only 3 weeks in, but we're one of two teams in our division, 0-3, and then both the Packers and the Lions are 2-1. So I actually had a friend tonight. I actually, oh my gosh, I never gave you guys. So the other games that I like are I like the Eagles as 7-point favorites over the Commanders this week. I like the Bills as 2.5-point favorites over the Dolphins. And the one upset I actually like for this week, other than the upset that I gave you, is the Rams as 1-point underdogs at the Colts. But this Thursday night football game tomorrow night, Detroit, let's not kid ourselves, Detroit between the two, even though it's at Green Bay, Detroit is the better team. I think for the Vikings' sake, I would rather have Green Bay win and get lucky at home because, in my mind, Green Bay is not a great team. So going into week four, it gives me hope with Green Bay sitting at 3-1 and 3-1 and the Lions at 2-2 with us at 0-3, potentially going to 1-3. That makes me feel better about possibly still being able to win the division. Because the Lions are a better team versus going into our need a win game at Carolina with the Lions already 3-1 and then Green Bay already down there 2-2. So that's kind of what I think for this upcoming game. And into for this game, I think ultimately I really hope Bryce Young is ready to go. It looks like the connection between Thielen, who is unequivocally their, wide receiver, one, excuse me, already, already wide receiver, one. Sorry, I thought I had it up. I didn't. Coming into this game, he's got 20 receptions for 211 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not great numbers 3 games in, but he no doubt has a better rapport and reading everything with Andy Dalton over Bryce Young. So for our sake, I hope Bryce Young plays. We're just gonna have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, I think this. The defense, their defense, I saw it at work this last week, didn't look great. So offensively, I think this week on the offensive side of things, I think we really get the run game going. I think the run game accounts for 3 touchdowns. I think Cam Akers gets number one. Then defensively, I expect us after being 0-3, I think we're going to bring a lot of pressure, make hopefully Bryce Young feel the pressure, feel uncomfortable. And I think we're ultimately going to have another 5-sack game. And like I said, ultimately, I think we end up getting the dub 31-20. So that is what I have for you guys tonight. And I will leave you with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND @gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.